Good morning, everyone. We are continuing from where we left off yesterday. I have one question to answer, because after yesterday's lecture, I had an interesting chat with an ex-friend who asked me a question. Here's the question. The question is regarding time, regarding matter, rather, and spirit. And the question was like, we finished by saying that given matter, which is in space, and we said that if something is matter, it occupies space. And if something is space, it occupies matter. I am obviously not getting things right this morning. Let me try it again. If something is matter, it occupies that God does not change. Now, this picture is all right, but the question is whether we should consider something in between these two. For example, the angels. Let's put the angels here. As a third possibility of something that is spirit, let's put this. And if something is in space, it occupies matter. And we said that in that case, there is body. By body, I mean substance and things like that. There is whatever has body has shape. Whatever has shape has size, and also has parts. And we said that change belongs to whatever has parts. And also we said there is spirit. Which is not in space. Not in space. And I made an arrow the same way as before. And I think that's where the question arises. And we said, in that case, there is no body. There is no shape. There is no size. And there are no parts. And there is no change. And we decide on this side. Yet, even though they are spirit, they have body. I'll put you on this side now. They have body, and they have shape, and they have size, and they have parts, and they change. Now that is the question. That's not the question. Well, this is the way I have written the question. Now, it is the question is, in one sense, is very easy to answer. In another sense, it is very difficult. Not really difficult. It's easy to answer, but it gives the impression of being complicated. And the reason for that is that it lends itself rather well to language games. Now, there's only one way to answer it, and that is to point out one obvious truth, one truth that we cannot, that this is a mistake, what I have written in the middle, is a mistake. Here's where it's a mistake. You can divide the world into two classes. And on one class, you can put everything you like, anything you want. You can put, let's say, the world consists of two kinds, two classes of things. Let's put one on this side. I say, it consists of, let's say, cats. The world consists of cats and non-cats. Now that's, there is nothing in between those two. Nothing here. What would go between the class of cats and the class of non-cats? You say, what is that? Where are the non-cats? Well, it's I, you, mice, God, angels, etc. See, there is nothing in between those two. Those two. You may say, what do you say? What do these have in mind? Well, what do these have in common? Rather, not in mind, in common. What is the common characteristic? Is the absence of the feline nature. The feline, that is what these have in common. Now, to transfer this problem to the example that we have on the board, let me, before I do that, let me just explain something else. Supposing there was something in between those two, what would it be? Let me put the arrow on the other side so I can write. Supposing there is something in between those, what would it be? It would be a non-cat. Cat. That's why I say it lends itself to a language game. It would be a non-cat cat. Well, that is and this is a contradiction of terms. So, that's a contradiction. Now that proves that there is nothing between those two classes of things. There cannot be anything. But now, let me erase that and do the same thing with this, with the old question. I use this only as an example. I could put here, the word is divided into chalk and non-chalk. In which case, I, you, all these things would be non-chalk. And up here, we only chalk. You can divide the world in any way you want. But now, let me erase that and do the same sort of thing with the example we have on the board. So, if this is in the middle, and the angels are our spirit, they would have, you say we have a body, but what kind of body? But if this is defined, if this definition is correct, that spirit is not in space, then this would be in space? Well, we have to correct that list, and we have to say it's a non. All right, let me write that again. So if something is I want to put something in between matter and let me do it this way. Matter on this side, which is in space. and non-matter, which is not in space. What is between these two? What is between those two? It would have to be non-matter, matter. With the same contradiction, which would have non-body, body, which would have non-shape, shape, which have non-size, etc. Non-size, size, and no parts, parts, and no change, change. And all these are contradictory terms. Now, that's why I said that this kind of thing lends itself to a language game. Because deeply you may want to think, well, no, that's not what I meant. I meant that there are angels who are spirit, but they have a body nevertheless. Well, let's ask ourselves, if they have a body, then what kind of body do they have? You mean they have a spirit body? There ain't no such thing. Spirit and body are contradictory terms. So, spirit means something that is not visible. Not, we defined it in the beginning. We said, here is what spirit means. Now, it's possible that I have not understood the question. But that is not the first time. So, it's quite easy to hear a question and think that the question says something that the other person doesn't mean. So I will leave that on the board until the break, and then I can re-examine that and see if I missed the point. But certainly this question says, what about an intermediate state between matter and spirit? If there is such a state, then it would be something in space and not in space, which is a contradiction of terms. Something which would have a body and not body, shape and no shape, size and no size, parts and no parts, and change and no change, and all that is unspeakable. I think that part is, you know, if that is the question, then we have answered it. So I can erase it now and go to another question. In any case, I will go into the nature of angels later on, and we will find that this kind of thing is not correct. We're going to find out that the Bible does refer to angels in the same sort of way that it refers to God. God walks in the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve hear his footsteps in the garden. But those are ways of speaking. They are not proof texts to show that God has weight, that walks on leaves and makes a noise. So, we're going to discuss that later on when we come to the nature of angels. So I can erase that for the moment. The point I want to make sure is that there is a contradiction in putting an intermediate state. Now, I have another question here, and this is perhaps a more difficult one, and since this one is written down, all I have to do is read it to you. That way I don't have to speculate as to what the question is about. So here's the question. Since man is master of his own choices and does not know what the future holds for him, he is absolute master of what God will or will not know. He determines knowledge for God and provides it. In other words, if God does not know what we're going to do, in the sense that we're discussing yesterday, then obviously God must be learning from what we are doing. So this again, concerning God's completeness. Does God lack anything? Now this question is more difficult because it smokes out a higher theology. Now I mention that because it is also surprising when somebody who objects to the use of logic produces an argument of this nature. Now let me answer the question by explaining a different sense of no. Yesterday I rode two trains, and we discussed the possibilities here. If you recall, I put a little man in there, and we have lines, and then we put another line with a junction here, and we discussed those kinds that two different senses of no. I like drawing trains and the little stick men, because then we don't have to get into difficulties. We are not discussing highfalutin concepts here. But now the question is that since this man here, the train driver, may not know himself where he's going to end up, and he finds out at the end, then perhaps he is also the master of what God will find out. So he provides knowledge for God, and God is not as complete as we had thought. So let me ask a question. Does God know every sparrow that falls to the ground? And the answer given in the New Testament is yes. Yes, he does. But in what sense of no? Not in the sense of calculating or looking at tea and coffee or whatever on the board yesterday. Not in the sense of looking at the railway lines, so to speak. So let me ask another question. Does God know how many spotted owls there will be in 1996? Well, the answer is the City Hall claims to know that. They can estimate it. Now, and so we have to say that the answer to that one would be, in some sense of no, is yes. But that involves also free. Does it involve free will? Yes, it does, because supposing that in 1996 one sparrow will fall into my windscreen as I drive on the freeway, then obviously God must take that into consideration, that I will be on the freeway at that time. But he does not know that by calculation again. He doesn't come to a particular knowledge. Now, the point of all this is that God must be thought of as a being that has attributes which transcend time and space. So in our sense of no, the question is wrong. And I should not be answering it. In other words, if you say, does God know, in the sense of finding out or calculating and so on, the answer is, that is not a question. I should not get caught in trying to answer such a question. But let me give you another scripture. Does God know what eye has not seen and ear has not heard? The New Testament says, yes, he does. Let me just simplify things a little bit by saying that God does not see as you and I see. We have eyes to see, and we have ears to hear. That is not how God sees, and that is not how he hears. Now, for example, you cannot see inside my head, and I cannot see in inside your head, because you and I are outside each other's heads. But God knows exactly what's inside our heads, because he's not outside. The words outside are not meaningful when they are applied to God. They are wrongly applied to God. God is not outside. What do you mean? As if he could be. Outside and inside are spatial terms and should not be used with reference to God. My seeing and my knowing and my perceiving are blocked by time and space. That means if there is something in front of me, I cannot see. I cannot see you. If there is a wall here, then I cannot see you. And if somebody puts a piece of wood or a piece of cloth in front of the camera, then nobody will see me. Because that is how the world is made up. We see only in certain conditions. So, I am saying that we have to consider the way we look at things humanly, and the way we hear things, and the way we use our senses, and we must not make the mistake of ascribing the same process to God. That is not how God sees. God sees, knows, and perceives in ways that are not blocked by time or by space. So, let me go back again. As I said, we have a wall. If we have a wall here, I cannot see through it. But similarly, I cannot see in the past, because I am made to be a human being and I'm limited in time. I can only look at the present. I cannot look at the future. I cannot look at the past, because I am limited. Whereas God is not blocked by time. He can look anywhere he wants. But if I say anywhere, that word is spatial. And if I say God can look in the past, that's not true, because God has no past. And there is no present. There is no future for God. See, for us, it's a problem when we start thinking in terms of no time. It's easier for us to think in terms of no space. For example, if I say, let me erase the board now and write and give you different examples to illustrate this problem, because it will come up again and again, time and again. If I say, I am here. I am here. I put the am inside. This is an important point. Now let me just pause for a moment and say something else. Whenever I explain this kind of thing, people say, oh, he is getting into technicalities again. Instead of getting on with the subject, why don't you open the Bible and read something to me? And I will not do that. Either we discuss theology or we go into a Bible study. Here, we are not doing Bible study. We are discussing theology. Right? And we said already what kind of theology, what theology is and what Bible study is. We're going to discuss language. We're going to discuss science. We're going to discuss space and time. What is finite and what is infinite. And those things are a part of the discussion of the knowledge of the nature of God. That's it. So our program is laid out for us. So when I say I am here, I have no problem with that. If I say I was in Nebraska. There's no problem with that either. And when I say, I shall be in Australia. But supposing we put God up here, I have to write God like this. When I am here, God is here. When I was in Nebraska, God, you can't say God was. You have to say, now if, look, I put these boxes because I am inside the box. I can, the arm is inside the box. That this is my limited world. So here I say I am, and from this position I look and say I shall be. And from this position I look and I say I was. Because I am not here. I am there. Right? I'm in this box here. So I have to look to the future. And I have to, if I can, I can look in the past. Again, because let me just make, because this is me. Right, that's where I am. There is no stick man in Nebraska in the past. Because now I say I was. And I shall be. But God, I cannot say here that God was in Nebraska. I can, but that's from a human, from inside this box. See, any time I use the word was and shall be, we are using it from inside the box. If we get outside the box, then there is no past and there is no future. So this God, you know, looking down, says, I am. God says, I am. Well, let me put is again, just keep it the same. Is here. And God is here. So, God looks down here and says, I am. Looks down here and says, I am. You say, from here? What does that from here mean? God is all the time. So, maybe I should erase these. And you can see there is no, there are no boxes in God. He just simply is in Nebraska, in the past, he is in the future, and he is in the present. So, now, in other words, in 1993, God is in the past. God is in the present. And God is in the future. Perhaps I could illustrate it in a different way. I could say, supposing we went to the international dateline. There is an international dateline. On one side of it is Sunday night, midnight. And here it's Monday, midnight. I cannot produce good examples. Let me explain that. I cannot. There is nobody on the face of the earth who can give you a real, understandable, clear-cut example of what it is to be present, in the past, and the future. There is nobody who can give you an example taken from this world. So we have to try to imagine things. Supposing you are in this... let's put a stick man here on the international dateline. And I'm making this line, the international dateline, about 3 inches wide. So if you are this is 1 inch here, and 1 inch on this side, and 1 inch. So if this man was standing here, he would stand like this. I better put him in the middle. So I put another line on this side. There. So, now where is he? Now he is on the international dateline. So this man then, he looks on to the he looks to his right. He looks to my right, and he sees Alaska, and he looks to my left over there, and he sees Siberia, or is the other way around? That's correct. It's correct. And so he is in the present. There is the present. So let me put the present in. This is the present. That's the present. He looks at the past. Where he is in the past. And he is in the future. I'll put a different color chalk here. Let's put the same. Future. So he is in the present, he is in the past, and he is in the future. All at the same time. So you say, can he see the past? Yes, he can. Can he see the present? Yes, he can. Can he see the future? Yes, he can. Now he can, supposing that when he stands there in this spot, and because the international dateline is in the middle of the sea, now he can look at he can look on this side, and there is a ship going this way. Instead of putting trains now, we put ships. So it's going that way, and there's a ship going this way, and he looks at them and says, they're going to collide. Does he determine the future that way? No, he doesn't. He just looks at it and he can see what's going to happen. But he doesn't generate it. Anyway, this is my attempt to illustrate how God is in the past, he is in the present, and he is in the future. It's not a good one, but I cannot produce I don't have to do that. I am not obligated to prove by demonstration what it is to be outside time. It's just it's not possible. Now, I find it easier to give you an example of knowing. For example, I can give you an example. They say that mice can find the cheese even in a maze when they are guided by smell. So you put a piece of cheese, and a mouse, guided by the smell, will go and find it. Now he cannot be guided by his sight, because he cannot see. Right? The mouse has short sight. That's why we use the name myopic. And the word myo means a mouse, and opic means seeing. So somebody is myopic when he has mouse sight. So if you place the cheese now in a very well sealed plastic bag, I don't think the mouse will find it. But supposing you had a very intellectual conversation with this mouse, and you could say to him, I know where the cheese is, even though I cannot smell it. I cannot smell the cheese because it's sealed. It's well sealed. The mouse will not believe it. He will say, come on, you're joking. How can you know where the cheese is if you cannot smell it? Because the reason he says that is that he can judge only by smell. That's the only kind of knowledge that he has, the knowledge of smell. He would say, it is impossible to know where the cheese is if you cannot smell it. Now, the difference between mice and men is this, that man has a different kind of knowing. He can know by sight. He can look through a plastic screen and see the cheese over there and say, there is the cheese, even though he cannot smell it. He doesn't have to smell it. Now, that analogy can be taken up between man and God. Man is the mouse. He knows only in limited ways. And God is God has a different way of knowing. He knows without these human limitations. Similarly, what the mouse can do is no guideline to him regarding what man can do. And in the analogy, what man can do is not a guideline as to what God can do. So, that answers the question then, because we are saying inside these things are men or mice, and God is outside that. And God is outside time and outside space, and He is not to be judged in the same way as human beings judge. All right, now that's the answer to that question. I have one more question before I drop this subject, before we go into a different question, a different issue. It says, please state a position regarding God's foreknowledge in a nutshell, if possible. Here it is, in a nutshell. All questions about let me write it on the board. All questions about no regarding God. Does God know? The answer is He does not. So, no matter what question you ask, does God know? The answer is no, He doesn't. Now, the other one, does God know? Within quotation marks, the answer is yes, He does. Right. Now, these are the two senses of no. And I have tried the level best. I haven't got any other things to give. That in a human way, this word no means to calculate, to look at railway lines, to judge causes and effects. Tea makes me go this way. Wine makes me dizzy. So if I know people who cannot take any wine. I know what will happen, right, if they taste the wine. They go numb, right? Or they get drunk. So that no means I calculate. I have seen and I have experienced. That's from that kind of no. For that kind of no reduces God to one of these boxes. So that is not correct. But this sense of no is theologically accurate. God knows everything in this sense. What is the meaning of that? Means outside the boxes. So this is in a box. Let me put a box here. That's in a box. And the answer is no for that one. But this is outside the box. The answer is yes, He does. Because, in quotation marks means we remove all finitude, all finite elements, rails, senses. He does not judge by senses.